Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Elizabeth Cott and Stephanie Sambari from the That's So Retrograde podcast to talk about mindfulness, wellness, and how it relates to your relationships with yourself and a partner. Topics include, what does all this retrograde talk really mean, and what does it mean for your life? Some alternative ways to work on yourself, because we're never done improving, and you know I'm all about self-work. Why astrology can actually tell us a lot more than we think it does, and how your gut is like your second brain, and how it relates to your sexual health. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. If you've not checked it out lately, because it's a good friggin' time. We got a lot of things there to help you have the sex and relationships that you've dreamed of. And also, if you haven't yet, find me on SiriusXM Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. We take your calls. And as always, you can find me at Sex with Emily across the board on all social media. I am so excited to welcome my guests to the show. I'm jumping right into that. They are the host, creators, founders, lovers. They're not actually lovers, but I love them. That's So Retrograde podcast, coined the ab-fab of the new age. They are quite fabulous. You know when you have guests coming in? Well, you don't know this because you don't have a show, but if you do, and you're like psyched, you're like, don't need to prep, don't need to think about it. I know it's going to be awesome because everything they have to say is super inspiring and they're cool chicks. Elizabeth Cott, Stephanie Sambari.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's give out the social first. At Elizabeth Cott.
K-O-T-T.
Thanks. At
S. Sambari. That's S-I-M-B-A-R-I.
Right. And on Twitter, you're Steph Simbari.
Yeah. But I like, I have a, you know, I love tweet you. Once a month slash once every 6 months.
Do the Instagram. And then you guys also have a That's So Retrograde.
It's at so retrograde.
At so retrograde.
Take out the that.
Take out the that.
Just so retrograde.
So retrograde.
Yeah.
You so can't miss it. Yeah. Because they're so awesome. So
you're so awesome.
Oh, you guys. So, tell me what's going on. That you guys started the podcast how long ago now?
We were working on it around 4 years ago. This time we launched in February. It will be like 4 years on air.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the concept? Tell me about how it all came together.
Well, we kind of were really just obsessed with astrology and into making our lives better and smoking weed. And we set out to make this podcast that sort of positioned us as experts on astrology. And quickly we realized that we knew nothing about astrology, and so we decided that we would just be explorers in the space, and that's really taken us very far.
Yeah, so really, it's just explorers in these different modalities that, like, as one of our astrologers said, help people find their soul.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was really, let's talk about astrology, though, for a minute, because I feel like I always read my horoscope.
What are you?
I'm a Gemini.
Oh. Guest.
See, you don't know astrology, do you?
We don't claim to know anything.
I'm a Gemini. Like, I love when I'm dating someone. Like, my boyfriend was a Gemini, so then we had the same birthday. I thought that meant something. Like, what, you know?
That's
so anyway, and I think we all read our horoscopes, but I don't really, is there a lot of value to it, truly, what you've learned?
I think that it's interesting because we've all come to know astrology just as, like, I'm a Gemini, I'm a Scorpio, she's a Taurus, you're a...
Aries.
Okay. But that's just one aspect. Like, if you actually get your chart read, it's a gigantic circle, and there's like lines and dashes and symbols and aspects and all these different energies that are at play. So basically, it's like to know your whole chart is really the most empowered thing you can do, because it's described as a snapshot of the moment that you were born. It's basically like the blueprint of your soul, and you can learn so much about yourself through knowing all of these different ways that you're going to play with yourself in the world, with your emotions, with relationships, with work. Like, there's, it can describe and give you the archetype of how you will be in all aspects of your life.
And you found it to be very accurate.
Yes.
It's incredible.
And then Stephanie, as business partners, we did work that traditionally one of the astrologists we work with will do for couples in a romantic relationship, which is a composite chart.
Yeah.
And so to work through some hurdles in our business partnership, we did like astrology couples counseling.
Yeah. I love it.
And it's been, because when you learn how people intrinsically think and how they see the world and how they approach conflict based on their astrological blueprint, you're then able to understand and kind of predict how that person is going to be able to like work through a problem, so you can in tone like work through it easier.
It definitely like helps with the communication, because so say she knows that I'm the kind of person that's not going to respond to a certain type of confrontation, she can then approach me in a different way. Yeah, it's a really interesting way to kind of have compassion towards someone else's way of being and not put your own agenda on them and then get angry at them for not being like you. I think that's like a lot of what happens in relationships. And you're just like, that's just not going to work for them.
Right.
So I'm just not going to do that.
Okay.
It's really cool.
That is cool. And I got my chart done like 20 years ago. Do I need to do it again?
They say you should get your chart read once a year.
Oh. Because I have someone, actually my acupuncturist, wants to do my chart. Because
that's
he also
so retrograde, Emily.
Yeah. Isn't it?
So
he's like, Em, and literally I've had a reminder on my phone for 2 months. It says, find your birth. I can't find my birth time.
Yeah. I think in the beginning of every year, it's a cool thing for you to do, because it kind of will map and track like what unique challenges you'll have that year, or what will be working for you that year, and what sort of like things to look for and things to look out for. It's really like, why wouldn't you want a roadmap?
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm glad that.
Yeah.
So what about all the people who are like, but I read it mine, and like I get these emails every day, like Om horoscope. I read it sometimes.
That's fine. That's basically like one 100th of the story.
And I think that those are just a really beautiful modality in weaving consciousness into your day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just to have somebody say like, here's something to look out for. Like those just kind of like generic readings, like there's nothing wrong with that. That really, it adds perspective, and you're able to look at situations in a much deeper level. It's all good. It's just an added layer of consciousness.
Got it. Okay. So different modalities. So what are the other modalities that you guys have found now after a few years doing the show that have been like, that could be helpful and relatable?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me this year was feng shui, which was something that I so badly wanted to learn about. And I talked about it on the show and I was like, this is something I'm so into. And I couldn't really find like the right person to learn from. And then this woman like kind of like popped out of the sky for both of us this year. And we just like totally dug her approach and a lot of stuff to do with relationships. And you'll find this really interesting, like the right size of bed you should have in your room for relationships. So like, or having mirrors in your room. If you're having a problem with trust or infidelity, like having a mirror in your bedroom, it's like magnifying the issue.
And also like imagery of twos is better than threes, having things on both sides of your
bed. I've heard
about
that.
There's like so many symbolic things that sort of subconsciously infiltrate your life in feng shui.
Like a queen bed is best because you're like not too far apart. You're not too close. Perfect. There's enough room. It's just like really interesting.
Thank God you didn't say king because it won't fit in my room.
And she frames.
God damn it.
She frames it, and what we really responded to is the fact that it can really, your feng shui, your space could act as a living vision board. So it's broken up into these 9 different categories, the Bagua chart, and you can see like what part is relationship, what part is success, what part is family, what part is health, and kind of work through that in the space that you're in to really call in the
things that you
want.
Into your home and walked around. Can I get her name?
Absolutely.
I've moved in 2 years ago. I have no furniture.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're
going
to be obsessed. Megan Wallace James is her name. She was probably one of my most favorite discoveries we've had this year. And then it's like the shui of your life, like computer shui. Like I'm holding on to like all these old files I don't need, or like shower shui, like how many shampoos do we need? And it's just all about just like cleaning the slate. Relationship shui, like get the people who are dragging you down out of there.
Let's talk. Yeah, I think this makes so much sense because I often think about that. Like when you walk into a room, you can feel when something's not right. And we do often talk on the show about like if you are single, for example, making your room welcoming to welcome someone else. So if they come in and you've got your bed against the wall, one nightstand, like not enough room, you just have 2 nightstands either side and just set it up in that way. But God, I'd love to
the bedroom. Yeah, she says amazing. My favorite thing, bedroom needs to be for 2 things, sleeping and sex.
Yep,
and
I
nothing else, like no tech, no. And once you clear everything out, like it really holds space for sleeping and sex.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like what else is there supposed to be to do in the bedroom? Okay, I find that fascinating.
Yeah. And it's also just like energetically, I know like when my house wasn't in order and I knew if I put them in a closet, I knew they were there, I'd go into my house, I'd bring someone in and I'd be in that state of like weird shame, even if I wasn't saying it was definitely an energy that I was carrying. And now I'm like, come into my room, look at how there's nothing here, like there's eucalyptus in the corner and it's all pink and it's like, let's get to
it. Do you want to sleep over and have sex?
Perfect. No,
whereas before I'd be like, I don't know if you should come over, like it's okay, like
I'm
had
having
weird
a lot
stuff.
Of energy blocks around my house, same thing. And I would keep thinking I need someone who knows space, because to me I know what's wrong. I even just turned my couch the other day because I do have a couch, but I'm getting rid of it. That's all I have. But I thought, this opened up the whole room. I feel better. Like energy was flowing. And I was like, it felt tight and constricted. So that is really cool.
It's
I love
incredible.
That. What was the one for you too? Was it the feng shui?
Oh, I mean, I'm such a big fan. I love feng shui for sure. That's been really helpful. It's hard for me to pick because there's so many.
PRP facials?
I love them too.
The PRP.
I just did that.
That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, wow. Because I don't want to look old, obviously, but I also like have a thing against, I'm scared to get Botox again. I got it when I turned 30 because I was in a panic.
Right.
And then I got it once more because I was in another panic. And now I'm just kind of like not trying to do that. So I'm trying to find other ways to keep up with the young looking Joneses of Los Angeles.
You both look fabulous.
Thank you.
I have so retrograde. Said yes to Botox. So.
Yes. But I'm also, because I have like an eye issue and I'm afraid that if I put poison on my face, I'm just like, I'm trying to not irritate anything in my system. So PRP is amazing.
Yeah, it's true.
I think numerology is very fascinating.
Yeah, I love that too.
Sister friends with astrology. We've had that done together too. Yeah, and that's really interesting.
Our first episode at the top of the year runs through all the numerology.
Okay. Of 2019.
So we can check that out if we're curious. Because what I'm curious, if people listening are like, oh yeah, I don't really get all this stuff, but it sounds interesting. What you guys do on your podcast is like you're learning along with everyone else.
Yeah.
And you're actually on the journey and you break it down and you guys are real and you're funny and you're cool chicks. And you're like, this is what we got, what we didn't. So you're honest about it. So it's not like someone's got to be like, oh, it's all woo-woo.
Right.
Like,
we really try to ground it in like conversational banter so that, and people can just take the information that works for them and try something and put it down. And we say we like to provide the information so everyone can build their own toolkit. So there's absolutely no one size fits all. We don't preach like you must meditate, but we will talk about the scientific benefits of meditation and have the leaders in the space on to communicate all of that. And like, if that inspires someone to try it, that's really all we really aim for.
Right. You're not like pushing down their throat, but hopefully they'll pick up, like, just like on the on this podcast, we cover so many things about sex.
Exactly.
Like, one day they're going to want to be ball gagged and
right. Like, I know about anal sex from your show, but like, I haven't needed to throw that in my toolkit right. just yet.
But if it does come along, you'll be like, Emily says, go slow, breathe slow, and use lots of lube.
I know exactly the type of lube to use.
Exactly.
So it's like all in the toolkit.
You
so
will
we're
be leaving
basically,
with more lubes today, FYI.
Yes. We're basically the same show, Emily.
Yeah.
I think we are.
Don't let the
way.
Moon fuck you too hard in the ass.
That's what I always say. Is that your sign off?
Yeah.
I love it. But no, I love that. It is kind of true because you're breaking down this whole, because everybody knows now if you've been living on planet Earth for at least the last 10 some odd years, you should probably meditate. They sell yoga mats at Walgreens. Like the whole wellness, health, spirituality space is there. And I think there's a gate, people are like gateway that they can't quite, or there's a hurdle. They're like, well, I don't really know. And I don't really, so right. The way you guys kind of feed it, they can kind of, they choose. But what do you think, do you hear from people who are like, I want to get into the space, I'm not sure what it means for me, where do I start with being more enlightened, if you will? Like, well, what does that even mean?
What I always say to people is just follow your curiosity. Whatever is the most interesting to you, go towards that, because it doesn't really matter what your entry point is. It matters your connection to the thing that you're looking towards. And there's no shortage of people at this point, like touting this information. Like at this point, it's really like mainstreaming in a very real and amazing way. So we're just here being like, do it however you want to do it. What feels good to you? What sounds good to you? Just try something. And then that will lead to something else. The biggest like disservice I think that you can do to yourself is to think that there's a disconnect between you and the thing. Because your wellness and your health and your well-being isn't something that is outside of you. You have everything that you need. You just might need like an assistant of some kind or like guidance. But really internally at the end of the day, what we've learned is like really, truly, all you really need is like water and meditating and you'll be fine.
It is true.
Like
though,
the
breath.
More we learn, the more we're like, what's our secret? Hydrating and breathing.
It's
like,
so true.
You don't need a whole bunch of shit.
You really don't. Really
great
sleep.
Great point to take a sip of water at
yeah.
the moment.
For yes.
Listen,
everyone. Yeah. Have you had your yeah. 50 ounces
and, you
or
know,
whatever?
It's come about in an interesting time where our health on like a macro scale, we're not supported by our government.
No.
Like it is completely turned our back on supporting our health. So it is imperative that we all take it into our own hands. And yeah. so if we can be the tiniest part of introducing people to information.
The tiniest part.
Little tiny people. Can you talk about that more?
Sure.
About our government and what you mean by that? I'm assuming a healthcare system.
Healthcare system yeah. is impossible. And if you are even trying to look out for yourself, there's the languaging and the hurdles of for just even signing up for Covered California. Like it just is not clear.
And I will say that the way that medicine is structured now in that system is that they're treating the symptoms and not the cause.
Yes.
So say you're depressed, which I'm sure a lot of people are depressed.
Yes.
They're gonna say
not at this moment, but I
right,
haven't.
But we are living in a time
depressing.
When a lot of people are yeah, it's a depressing time. But depression stems from other things besides Donald Trump, besides the economy. It's not just about the external thing. That's a side thing. But you're depressed. They're like, oh, we're depressed. Hold on. We have like this fucking booklet of all these pills you can take to treat your depression. But what they're not looking at is what's going on inside of your body that might be adding to your depression. Your gut health, for example, is like the first thing that you should look at if you're depressed. Your second brain is in your gut. It's like well documented. All the research is calling your gut your second brain. Like 90% of your serotonin lives in your digestive tract. Your immune system lives in your digestive tract. It's like so much is going on there that to give your brain a pill, which we don't even know that much about
exactly.
as the first line of defense, is a mistake. That's treating the symptom and not the cause. And that's how so much of medicine functions right now.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And I'm just hearing more about this because I always feel like I've been healthy, but I've been hurting. The more road I've been going down with like acupuncture and massage, I hurt my back. So I've had to like slow down this year which I think has been a good thing ultimately when you get sick or something happens. But I've heard more about this, that your gut is your second, what did you say? Your second brain. And so talk more about that because I was like, I was shocked. Like I actually had kind of heard it, but now I keep hearing it. So let's talk about how can people know if their gut's healthy?
Well, most people's guts are not healthy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we're living in a very over-processed chemical world. So how do you know if your gut's unhealthy? Let's see.
I mean, going to the bathroom regularly is a number one indicator,
but
obviously.
But what is your poop? What does it look like?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does it feel when you do it? Is it solid? Is it, what's the color? Like, it's gross to talk about. It's like probably not what people want to hear, but like your poop is like a weird tell of obviously the inside of your body. There's that. Then like what's happening with your skin? What's happening with your energy levels? Do you have brain fog? I mean, these are all symptoms of an imbalanced gut. Are you really gassy? Are you cramping? Does it hurt when you eat certain things? Is it burning? Like, it's not hard to tell that something's imbalanced, but I know so many people that will like eat something, it'll hurt. They do it every day and they take a Tums.
Right.
Every day. And right. It's like, you're fucking yourself up.
Exactly. We're in California. Okay. We are so lucky. Like, I literally drive past, you know, 16 Pilates studios, 8 acupuncturists, wellness. There's 5 Whole Foods. Like, we are lucky we live here in the space where it's everywhere. But if I'm in Michigan, Elizabeth and I both grew up in Michigan, or you're in Arkansas, or you're in Florida, and it's not as what kind of work, where would you start? If your doctor's saying take a pill, is this accessible? Can you find this kind of help if you're not in California or, you know?
You can empower yourself.
Yeah, I think there's more and more resources available to us that it was interesting. At South by Southwest, 2 or 3 years ago, when during tech, you can kind of always see like what trend is happening. And the biggest thing was health and health apps and all of these different things as a direct response to the fact that everyone was feeling so failed by the way our health systems were set up. And so this now, you know, that being a few years ago, is now trickling down. So there's a lot of different apps. I think a lot of the insurance companies are getting hip to the more natural offerings.
A lot of insurance companies are covering acupuncture.
And chiropractic. And a lot of doctors, too, have been failed by the systems that are supposed to support them. So they're turning to kind of a 360 approach. And so I think it's a slow burn, but it is going to be, it is turning around in its favor. And the fact that we're just, the access to information is there. To somebody who maybe didn't feel like a family medicine doctor is really giving them their full diagnosis or help they need, a naturopath is always a sound investment. Get your poop tested. Get a blood plant panel.
So that's what I was going to say. You have to ask for those things, though, is the thing. Like, a lot of times a doctor won't say, oh, let's test your poop, let's test your blood. They'll just give you like the basic rundown. It's interesting.
Your Western doctor will do that.
Yeah. And the American,
just the basics.
The basics. And the American system of reading your blood is also like, they won't tell you something's wrong until you're like really sick.
Right.
So there's like this whole level in between like what's thriving and what's like you're very ill. And there's a middle ground where in America they'll say like you're fine.
Right.
But you're not. So you have to ask for these tests. You have to have them read by someone who is a naturopathic doctor. But literally like a poop test, any doctor can run it and they can tell you, oh, you've been eating eggs and you're allergic to eggs. You have a dairy sensitivity.
Wherever you live, you could do that.
That is available.
And that's the thing we have to take.
Yeah.
Take initiative with your
doctor.
That's what I'm
saying.
Ask them.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that is such good advice.
And also like, I don't think, I mean, this might be making an assumption, but I'm pretty sure no matter where you live, there's some kind of natural clinic acupuncturist within 100 miles of where you live in America. Like, I probably could say that with like 90% certainty that they're around.
Yeah, they are around. You just have to look for it.
Yeah.
It's not so, it's because you're right. South by Southwest is a great indicator because that is where a lot of tech and trends, that's where it kind of gets set every year. The conference in Austin, if you haven't been. We were there, but we missed each other.
We did.
Like a day.
And can I plug one thing too?
Of
like
course.
If you're someone who's like, oh, I don't know where to start. There's no Whole Foods or natural grocer near me. And I don't know what to do or where to buy. Like, I would say two things. Like, try an elimination diet. If you're eating something regularly that's hurting your body, try to eliminate each food group over the course, like say like, okay, I'm not going to do dairy for the next 3 weeks. See how I feel. If that doesn't do anything, okay, I can have dairy. I'm not going to do grains for the next 3 weeks. See how I feel. Maybe, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to do nuts. Like your body, you need to treat your body like it's your own science experiment. Just because you're not around a Whole Foods or something doesn't mean that you're outside of what's possible for you in terms of healthy options.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with more Elizabeth and Stephanie. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
When I went to see my Western doctor about my back, for example, and I told her that I was going to see, I said, well, I think I'm going to do acupuncture and I'm seeing that. She's like, well, supplements don't work, and that's not proven. And it was like cedars.
See, no, but then that's the thing. It's like, so who are you looking to? Not to get like political, but like then you're looking to the FDA, and the FDA is clearly not steering us on the right track 100% of the time. So if something isn't FDA, quote unquote FDA approved, like that to me personally is like, so.
Yeah, exactly. And that the FDA is the
what
only
is FDA approved things that are
and
literally killing our society.
And like, how, I guess I would ask you, like, when your doctor said that, how did you feel when she said supplements don't work? What was your like internal like, read?
My internal read was like, I've been seeing this naturopath in Burbank schlepping there and he's, I know that it's helping me. He read my blood work so differently than you did, but I had to go in because I slipped a disc and I just had to go through the motions so she could recommend that I go see a physical therapist. I mean, right. I just listened to her going, I knew you'd say that and I'm sad for you.
So that's the thing. And that's, I think, something that's really challenging.
I didn't even try to change her mind. She knows.
And
that,
you like, shouldn't. But what I'm saying is to be in your own personal power of saying like, I'm trusting my internal read versus like you as this like so-called authority figure, I think is very difficult. I've been in a position where I've had to like stand up to doctors before, and it's so challenging because we give them this power. And I guess on some level we should.
Yeah.
But because the paradigm is shifting of these kinds of things, it really does come down to your intuition and you being like, I don't think what you're saying is correct.
Right.
In fact, I know what you're saying is incorrect and I need to trust myself more than I trust you right now.
Right, and trust my gut. And that's why if you have a healthier gut,
exactly.
Guys, that's a real thing. When people say trust your gut, there's a reason. We have our intuition center lives there. Like we know most of the answers.
Yeah.
We truly do. And most of what we know, all that we need is inside of us already.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Namaste.
Namaste. Okay, so what about retrograde? I needed to ask you guys because I know that's your thing, but like, is that real too? Mercury in retrograde, is that really going to, because we always joke, everyone does, oh God, my cell phone, I lost it, it cracked. What does it really mean? Mercury retrograde.
Talk the astrological and I'll talk the avoid things you should avoid.
Okay. Retrograde happens, is a phenomenon that happens to every planet in that basically the energy of the planet slows to, so it's not creating the same energetic field around it. So the way that it relates to us on Earth and our bodies that are made of water and all that shit changes.
It looks like it's moving
backwards.
Like
it's moving backwards, but it's actually not moving backwards. It's just changing speed.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So it, kind of like when you're going by a car and it like, you know how that happens when you, it looks like the car is standing still, but it's, you're just passing it. It's like
totally
that.
Getting. Okay.
So Mercury, the planet itself, is the ruler. All the planets rule different archetypes and energy forces. So Mercury you're a Gemini, mm-hmm. which is ruled by Mercury, which is the planet of communication.
Yeah, here we are. Hey, okay. I'm in the right place. Thank God. Right job.
So yeah, exactly. Geminis love to speak. Not to throw this into the mix, but Donald Trump is a Gemini, and that's why he can't stop tweeting because he's out of
really
fucking
a
control.
Gemini?
Yes.
Oh God.
Kanye West is a Gemini. Can't shut the fuck up. Doesn't know how to stop talking. Like, those are shadow, dark aspects of being a Gemini. You're in a good, positive light
God.
Gemini. But these are things that we see with signs where it's like, if there's some sort of imbalance, it will go off the rails. So Mercury is ruling communication and such technology and transportation. So that's why it's like my phone, my car.
So that's really true. We should pay attention to that.
But Mercury will go retrograde every year. So that's the one planet that every year goes retrograde.
And I will say, when? For all those
four times a year
wheeling and dealing out there, try to avoid signing contracts during a retrograde, unless if the deal has been like a long time in the works, it's okay, but recommended not. And we've been like, we need to wait till it's out of the retrograde, and they say okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we're in LA.
It's your brand. So, right. In LA, they're like, of course.
See, I really am so obsessed with the retrogrades too, because think of the word retrograde, it's like a reword. So all of the words that start with re, like revisit, review, revise, like all of these
resolution,
all these things that have to do with re come up during the retrograde, depending on which planet is in retrograde. So like this last year, we had Venus retrograde for many months, which is like the planet of love and the planet of relationship, the planet of one-to-one interactions, the planet of beauty. So there was a lot of things happening. And I'm sure you saw this on your show with like a lot of deep relational issues coming up with people that was like more than just the surface of what's at hand. Like maybe things were being triggered from like their past because they didn't deal with something 20 years ago, and all of a sudden it's back because they never dealt with it. And the Venus retrograde is going to be like, we're reaching back and we're going to say, you got to fucking deal with this issue or you're not moving forward in your life in this way.
Yeah. And that's true for all issues that we don't deal with. Yeah. See, I just talk about it. And like, if you haven't dealt with something like trauma or anything that's happened to you in your past, which we all have, I always say, whatever we resist persists. If you resist dealing with it, it never goes away.
Yeah. Reword.
Yeah.
What? Another reword.
Right.
That to say, like, all of these, with astrology and numerology and all of these things, it just provides, to go back to it, as another layer of consciousness or a lens to look through to self-assess. And I think that's really the thing that's so cool. It's like, okay, like, I'm more always a little bit more on the skeptic side of things, but if it gives me an opportunity to look and evaluate my life, look at my relationships, look at my day, look at my month ahead, look at my year ahead with like a deeper sense of knowing and consciousness, like that is such a beautiful thing to bring into your days.
Right. Truly. So you kind of take what you like and leave the rest, as they say, from different modalities. Is there anything that you were so psyched about and you're like, this is bullshit, as far as any of the things that you studied or learned? You don't have to mention names.
I would say that I have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about psychics.
Okay.
Not that I don't think that it's real.
Okay.
I think that there is a lot that can be gleaned from someone who's highly intuitive, which is what a psychic really should call themselves.
Their gut's clear.
Highly intuitive people. We are not fortune tellers, and we're not going to predict your life's narrative. We live in a free will universe where everyone makes choices, and that is how things move forward, and that's how we affect things.
Mm-hmm.
But an intuition is interesting and cool, and you can have yourself reflect in that way. But anyone that tells you this is what's going to happen, this is who you're going to meet, this is what they're going to look like, all that kind of thing, just based on like nothing, their intuition, their psychic thing, I can't with you.
Okay.
I'm
firing my psychic.
Also, what I can't do is people, and we see this a lot, and no shade, all love, obviously, but anyone who is like celebrity blank in front of them, like celebrity psychic, celebrity astrologist, it's like,
you don't have to say that.
Oh, and they'll write down like on their Instagram, like celebrity.
Or like in a press kit or whatever.
It feels like.
I don't even get it.
Yeah,
it feels like 90s to me.
Well, and you automatically discredit yourself. Because once you become like a celebrity psychic, can you imagine your biggest nightmare?
You don't say that. Oh my God.
Celebrity psychic?
Goodbye.
Done.
See ya.
Like, that is just before you even walk in the
door. I just think it's dangerous and irresponsible for you to put something into somebody's head. And then now, like, someone's like, you're going to meet a man and he's going to look like this and he's going to do that and he's going to be from here. And then everyone else that I meet, if I like them, I'm like, well, you're not that guy. And then I'm missing out on real life experiences because some random fucking person gave my power away to told me that he's going to wear a business suit and be from Florida or whatever. Right,
exactly. No, I've had those experiences. So what have you been doing with psychics? I'm like, that is not true. Why didn't they tell me the black... I went to the psychic like right before I got bit by a black widow 2 years ago. And I thought the psychic was amazing and I kept listening to it. And I was like... couldn't she saw all these things? She didn't see the black widow that ended me up in the hospital for a week.
Yeah, oh, I mean that's a big thing. Done.
That's big.
Yeah,
you could have killed you. Any other thing that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So okay. So my question then is, what do you think? How has the show helped both of you personally in your personal lives? From what you've learned, or like in relationships, you're single, right? Stuff you're dating.
Single till I die. No, I was kidding.
But like anything, like do you look at even your relationships, how has it affected your personal life all these 3 years now of interviewing experts? Do you feel like, how have you guys changed and how does that manifest? What does that look
like? Well, it's twofold. One, in that we, on like a larger scale, we, our journey, our health, our everything we do in this space with wellness and consciousness, like we talk about it. So it holds it to a higher standard and it becomes paramount. And I would say when we started the show, we were interested in things, but I certainly wasn't living my best health and certainly wasn't on the road that we're on now, where I'm really open to anything. Whereas before, I think I came in with more of a skeptic hat. And then, you know, and on the other side of it is doing something we love and something we created from an idea and having it grow steadily and expand and have a community around the show expand. Like they always say that to have confidence, you got to impress yourself. Mm-hmm. Like that's the key to self-confidence.
Who's they?
Dr. Laura says that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, she's Dr. Laura. I know.
They say, I think that I have become a lot more confident in myself. I think that it has to do with A, doing something I truly, truly believe in and adore. That's one side of it. And also being really focused on feeling great. So like those two things combined have brought me into a place of like, I think I'm a great friend and a great partner and really good at my job because I have all of these little components working in my favor, with not without challenge, but that's kind of like this show, because it is so health focused and wellness focused and mindfulness focused, like you, like being on my game is primary.
It's a good answer. I love it. And I think you guys, and I'm impressed. You guys are doing great work. Really, you started this podcast and you have events and people come and they love you. And I've not been to one yet, but I want to. But I've seen it on the Instagram and I feel like you guys are doing great, great work.
Thank
you're funny.
You're our podcast
mom. I am your podcast mom. I said you guys go over, hang on, anytime. It's so fun.
Can I add to what she just said?
Yes, of course. You're the next question.
Oh,
you're
good.
The next. It was to you as well.
Oh, perfect. Wonderful. I thought we were one. We're like conjoined twins.
I just wanted to say that I was impressed to her. Confident.
Thank you.
Thanks, anyway, Mom.
Yeah, but now it's your turn.
So. I'm impressed too.
Thanks, Mom.
I was going to say, because I don't really think of it as like impressing myself as much as accepting myself. I think that's more what the show has given me tools to get closer to. I can remember being a child and never doubting myself and always being confident, always just like knowing who I was. And then, you know, the world is constantly trying to guide you in ways that take you away from yourself. And all of these practices, whether they be spiritual or whether they be just practical things like exercising and sweating or just things that are normal everyday things, have just led me to a place of being like, okay, I am this human in this body with this soul and this mind and this heart. What can I do every day to take care of this body, this being, in order to live my most fulfilled life for me?
That's a good answer.
I just think
I love it. So what is it that you're doing every day? Like, what could we glean? What would be some things to start if we want to start on a path like this? Like, are you... You said sweating. Do you guys go to that sweat place?
Shape
we
House.
Love
Could we
sweating.
Go? Yes, I want to go to Shape House.
You. Okay. You've not been?
No, but they keep it. I want to go.
You we're have to you. Go. It's so
How
fun.
Often do you go?
Like twice a week.
Stop.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just sweat for an hour, right?
Yeah. Or do lymphatic drainage, which is you put on this like suit that's like a compression suit and it lymphatic drainage is so hot right now, guys.
Can we do it there?
Yeah. So the best
can we thing that because usually we get manicures when we've gone out. But yeah, that would be way more effective.
You can lymph drain and then sweat.
And then sweat, and then that's like 2 hours. The dream day.
And you, what do you feel after from sweating? Like, I have a steam shower at my house.
It's detoxing. But it's just you. Also, your heart rate goes up a bit. Like, you're just like really wringing out whatever shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
Steam showering is incredible.
How have I not gone though? Yeah, I want to go back. We're in.
It's a different thing.
So is that what you're? Do you guys? You're meditating every day? I know it's hard every day, kind of thing.
I do meditate every day. It took me many years to get to that point, but I kind of think I hacked the system.
Would you? How'd you hack it?
And by the system, I mean my own self and resistance.
Yeah.
I do it before I get out of bed. I know that's like sounds obvious.
That's exactly what you're...
But I wake up in the morning, I sit up while I play with my dog for a second. Even if I look at my phone before, it doesn't matter. I've tried to do the thing where I don't look at my phone. That's challenging. I do it sometimes. I don't do it other times. I try not to be too hard on myself about that.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But after 5 or 10 minutes, I'm like, all right, this phone's going to suck me in. You know when you look at your phone and then like all of a sudden it's 45 minutes and you've done jack shit. You've lost your whole morning.
And I feel horrible about that. Yeah,
it's not a good feeling.
My mom called Michigan. It's like, there goes my day. Yeah.
So just make sure that before you really let yourself get carried away into the phone, you give yourself, I do, 11 minutes and 11 seconds.
Hello.
Because I'm trying to sync with the magic of the universe.
Yeah.
That portal.
You know, that portal, that magical portal. And I just sit up and set my timer. And for me, silent meditation is good. For some people, they need to do a meditation track, maybe some music, whatever you need to like get yourself in the focus zone. Do it before you get out of bed, because there's something about getting out of bed and seeing your house and suddenly you get ramped up into the day, that little moment of taking care of yourself becomes less and less and less important the farther you get away from that instant realization that it's the most important thing. So that's my hack.
No, I'm totally with you. It's a great hack. In fact, it reminds me of a hack. I think it was Deepak Chopra told me
and
not
Deepak.
Directly.
No, I'm
kidding. Deepak Chopra. When Dee and I were out for coffee. No, I read it somewhere. And he was like, this is the secret. And he said, RPM, rise, pee, meditate.
Love.
So he's like,
poop?
He's like, wait, can I?
Or poop. In an ideal
and then send
morning.
It to your doctor. Yeah. A twofer.
Yeah.
But it's like, rise, pee, meditate. Because it's more like, can I get coffee? No. Rise, pee, meditate. Can I call my friend? No. And then it's kind of like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So and that helped me too. That was my hack too.
Yeah.
Haven't been as great the last few weeks, but I get on pass on and off. But mostly I do.
Sometimes it's okay to get off your habits. I think sometimes when you get out of your practices is when you really realize how much they've been helping you. And that's just as much an important part of the journey as doing them, is being like, wow, I took that for granted, and that's something that is a non-negotiable for me. And knowing what your non-negotiables are is really important, because it's for you, not for somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, for both of us, journaling in the morning is really helpful. We subscribe to morning pages of just, you know, doing a brain dump.
Do you handwrite it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do 3 pages?
I don't, every morning I don't do that. I mean, I keep my journal next to me when I meditate, and I'll just write shit down and however much time I have or whatever, but there's sometimes when I'm like, well, I have to do 3 pages because some shit is working through my mind.
For me, like right now, I've really been trying to force myself back into making it a routine. So it's at least a page.
Right.
And I try to just like leave it at that.
Yeah.
And if I'm writing tiny, great. If I'm writing big, it's 2. You know, it's like whatever. But I think, you know, it's really important, I think, to do the like the first 2 weeks and try to do 3 pages every day if you're trying to kickstart some type of like new creative juice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just trying to like skim whatever off the top layer of your brain before you start the day, like it is
so healing.
You can write one sentence and it's fine. But there's just something about that practice for me. Like, I'm killing it if I'm meditating and journaling in the morning. One or the other is just as good.
Yeah.
Agree.
No, I'm so with you on the journaling. So that's, I'll talk more about that for a second, because that keeps coming back. I read The Artist's Way.
Love.
So in 1992 for the first time.
Amazing.
And then when I moved from San Francisco, I was 6 years ago, I was cleaning out all my books and I had 4 copies of it. The Artist's Way.
Wow.
I kept buying it, but I never really did. Like, I did it when I first got it and I was like, I'm going to write it. I'm going to read it. And then I was like, so the morning pages, I have all of her things. And then recently I got back into therapy, because you're never done. And she was like, you should try journaling in the morning. I'm like, God damn it, the morning pages again. Like, don't tell me to buy the goddamn book. I gave it away. But there is a lot. And I know that. So I started that again. I got my morning journal and not every day. But I do think that it is very, and that's so tangible. Like, everyone's got a notebook. And don't do it on your
computer, although I want to do that. There's something about the pen to the paper and getting it out and being kind to yourself that if it's just a page or three pages, because all day long, whatever, I love how you said skimming off the top. Like whatever's in the brain percolating when you wake up, get it out.
I love it's so powerful. The visual of like the pool that collects the leaves and the junk overnight and just needing to like skim off that junk of the pool if your brain's the pool.
You're absolutely right. Those are all really good tools.
It's really helpful. And honestly, if just those things, breathing, as we said, hydrating, giving yourself a little creative outlet to just like work through whatever's going on in your head, everything else is just like,
I love it.
And icing. What those things do, I think more to the point, is that journaling is getting you fully cognizant of yourself. That's, I think, a lot of the problem with people is that they aren't in touch with themselves. And so that when there is, even if it's like a stomach problem or a health problem, they don't even realize it because they're not connected to their own self. So if you're writing in your journal, like, because, you know, you're not controlling what you're writing in the morning pages, you're just a free write. So if you're like, okay, I woke up this morning, I have a stomachache. I've had a stomachache for the last 3 days. And then you keep doing that. You're like, oh, I have a stomachache. Like, you almost need to see yourself in front of yourself in order to, like, listen and respond, because the world is like, you are secondary to what we need you to do.
Exactly. Especially, it's so easy to react to the universe rather than be in control of it, is what you're saying. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. That is another great tool that helps us connect to ourselves, because I do believe so many of us are so disconnected from our bodies, which is what I often talk about, is that, like, that's why we think we don't want sex, need sex. For women, masturbation, I'm like, you gotta do it, it's gonna connect you, that sexual energy, you gotta keep it flowing. And we just assume it's just not part of us. And so have you found that, like, a lot of this stuff has helped, like, first of all, what do you attribute this disconnection to that you're finding from a lot of people? Do you think it's more so, or technology? Do you think it's the human condition, that the phone?
We're not, we're not sitting with ourselves ever.
Ever.
Like, if a friend is 10 minutes late for coffee, like, what are you going to do? You're going to pick up your phone. We had a guest, Poppy Jamie, who has an app called Happy Not Perfect on our show, and she explained it really perfectly in that 60 years ago, before, like, when people were, like, moving their bodies for a living, and then people became more stationary. So then people started going to the gym and they started making time in their day to work out because people were no longer moving around as much.
Right.
Now we're at that part with our brains. Like, we're not using our brain.
Yeah, you have to, like what you said is so true. The consciousness to be like, I'm waiting for my friend. I'm not going to scroll Instagram till they come. I'm going to sit. I'm not meditating. I'm just sitting with myself. I'm sitting with my thoughts. I'm observing people walking by. I'm thinking about what's in my head. I'm thinking about yesterday. I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm engaging with myself and my senses, as opposed to immediately. I mean, I truly believe that the phone zaps your hypothalamus.
Yeah.
I really think that it's like a direct.
What's a,
like,
hypothalamus?
Tell people the hypothalamus.
It's like, your third eye, basically. Yeah. Okay. It's like the center of your brain. That's connected to...
I was wondering where it went.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the feng shui person.
Right. Where do I put my hypothalamus? I'll help you with that, for sure.
Jesus. The cell phones, they're toxic. I agree with you, and I can't stop, right? It's outside my room for a while, but then my clock in my room, whatever.
But I also think...
Have you set up screen time on your phone?
No.
In settings, you can have the apps turn off. So my phone turns off at 10:30, and I have social media set on... I'm allowed to use it a certain amount of hours a day, and it will turn off. You can, like... had 15 more minutes manually, but the apps go black. It's the most genius thing. I'm so thankful that
what is it called?
If you go into your settings, then it's called screen time. I'm going to show it to you right
here. I'm writing it down. Okay.
And then you set it for all of the content that you can and cannot use.
Okay, we can't do it now. We're going
to tell us we're out of control.
Right. No, but it's like, true, because I've been noticing lately when I'm out and about, like, I went to a car dealer, our car fixer, whatever place. And, you know, they have shit. I'm not going to read their magazines about, like, Mechanics Weekly. And so there's no magazines. I thought, well, back in the day, you'd just be sitting there. Maybe you'd talk to someone next to you, and you'd observe who's coming in. You'd maybe look at their other cars or whatever's going on. But now you walk in and there's, like, six people just staring down. And that's wherever it is, wherever you go.
Everywhere.
And that's how I used to meet people and used to observe. Now it's like, I feel like life is just passing by us because we always have this entertainment. And it's interesting the way you just said this is that we are reacting. We're not creating it. We're just like, this is taking us out of ourselves. We're putting everything into this stupid goddamn phone.
And it's so convenient and great at times, but it's just because it's convenient and great doesn't mean it should be it's convenient and great all the time.
That's the other thing about all this wellness shit, consciousness, all of this. You're a human being. Accept it. You're not going to get over that. You're not going to transcend that. You're not going to be perfect. Everything's always going to be messed up and fucked up because that's what the human condition. So start with accepting that and then we'll move forward. So yeah. In relationships, it's like, you know what? We're not always going to get along. We're not always going to see eye to eye. Sometimes things are going to be hard and we're going to have shitty conversations. But like, don't we want to make that as easy as possible?
Yeah, they don't have, right, exactly. Accepting the fact that life is a series of up and downs. I just talked to a friend the other day. She was like, why is this happening to me again? Like, she got another job didn't work out or something. And she's like, again, things were going so well. And I'm like, this notion that we have that somewhere, somehow, someday, life is going to always be perfect. And there's not going to be, maybe even every day or every week, something that's going to throw you off and be and upset you or be like off the track. Like that is life.
Yeah.
Like that is the process of the ups and the downs and learning how to navigate and negotiate.
But I would say to your friend, get your chart read. You're probably bumping up against an issue that you're not aware that you have in your fucking soul. And because you're not aware of it, it keeps biting you in the ass. So let's make you aware of it.
And the chart would just tell you that? Like, that's a lot easier.
Literally, your chart will be like,
okay, I'm going to see my acupuncturist and bring my birthday so we can deliver the chart.
Truly, they'll be like, you are someone who rubs up against authority. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just making that
right
up.
Right, right.
So whenever there's a thing with authority and you rub up against it, you don't know how to deal with it. So you act out in X, Y, and Z ways because of this, that, and the other thing in your chart.
Probably because your older brother.
Imagine someone telling that to you.
Yeah.
You just be like, oh, I'll never do that again.
Right. Or you might, but when you do, you'll know.
You'll know. Like, I will never do it in the same way, in the way that I've been doing it.
Okay. That's really, you guys, this is all chock full.
It is.
Of advice. Thanks. I already feel changed just hearing the advice.
Stop.
But that's the thing about this stuff is that you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to stick with the plan. And at least, like, you know, if there's anything, I have one more question for you. And then we have actually five questions for you each.
Okay.
Each guest has to answer our quickie questions.
Okay.
I
love a quickie, right? And then my question for you is there anything that you said hacking it, like so you could learn to meditate or remember to journal? Is there anything that you, because you are talking about a lot of new modalities for people to adopt. Is there anything you've learned about people and habits that hasn't, that has worked? I know it's hard. I struggle with it.
That has worked?
That works, like a habit thing. Like I've heard the things about do everything for a minute. Like you don't have to do 10 sit-ups. You could do one sit-up. You could do read one page of a book if you want to read again. And then eventually you'll add upon that.
I think personally for me, it's just my biggest learning curve was making space in my day. It was just allowing there to be time for me to make a meal that will satiate me, allow there to be time to sit down and write in my journal, just like giving space so that I can be places on time. Just like not constant, like just constantly being ahead of myself was just not helping.
Right.
So all wasn't making room for me to sit with myself for a second. And so just like not over scheduling. I know that sounds so silly and tactile, but that's just like for me, that's the only way that I can stick to a practice or try something new is making my day clear enough to do that. And it's not about like not having responsibilities, not having being at work on time. It's about just like, okay, instead of going to drinks right after work, I'll go home and give myself 30 minutes to get to like sit with myself.
Yeah, that's really, no, that is
clean my bedroom or like whatever needs to happen.
Right. That's something exactly. That is a great, because when you're back to back, you feel like, you're getting everything done and that breathe time is important. I've just learned
so
that as
important.
Well. It's great. Good. Anything for you?
I just think stop making excuses.
Ooh.
Is the trick. Like, get over yourself.
Just take a hard look. Do your work.
If there's something that you feel like you need to be doing and you're not doing it and you find yourself being like, I'm not doing it because of that or I'm not doing it. It's like, no, you're not doing it because you're making an excuse. You're putting something else in the way of prioritizing your shit.
Exactly.
And doing the work is not easy and it's not fun all the time. And sometimes you do have to be like, fuck, I'm looking over here a lot. What I need to do is take 10 minutes and make myself a meal because that's going to show me that there's nowhere else I need to be except for right here.
Right. That's really good advice. Because I'm always saying do the work, do therapy. But these are all, you guys have definitely presented a lot of different
opportunities. No one is going to, like, therapy is great. I love that we have that available to us. I love that we have all of these things available to us. But at the end of the day, it's you and you alone that's going to get you where you need to go. And if you find yourself just not doing that shit, that's your bad.
Yeah. We all have
sorry to be a tough mom.
No, I love it, you guys.
Good mom, bad mom.
Yeah. I'm the bad mom.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I've questions for you. We can go back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, biggest turn on, Elizabeth.
Dr. Laura.
Humor. More than me, we're on the same network.
No, I didn't say that. I'm no, so you're fine. Not on the we same network. You booted Dr. Around. Laura. So
we're on the same network. She's on a different channel
yeah.
now.
Oh, right, 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 right. Okay. Yeah. sorry, I'm obsessed with that, by the way. Laugh, humor. Humor. For okay. sure, for sure, for sure.
Biggest turn on?
Listening.
Okay, biggest turn off?
Biggest turn off? Bad breath.
Unkempt fingernails.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay, so, biggest deal breaker on a date? Either one, whoever wants.
Rude to the waiter.
Someone who doesn't ask me one question.
Oh, it's the worst. Okay.
Oh, did wait, you say biggest that? Turn on. I want to go back.
Okay, go back. Go back.
Getting fingered. Just kidding.
You like being fingered?
You're not kidding. Don't even say that.
You like being fingered.
No, I oh, love it.
It. Who doesn't love it?
I think it's so fun.
Dude, right.
It's the best.
I don't think you'll finger enough anymore.
They don't.
They do it wrong.
They do it wrong.
And they don't touch your breasts enough.
I agree. I don't like when guys go, they just want a straight fuck. It's like, easy
or
does it.
Or they straight want to give you head. It's like, no.
Right.
Okay. Oh, great question.
Yeah.
Side, no.
Yeah.
Is it okay to have a call a guy giving head when he's going down on a girl?
Yeah.
I think because it's his head.
Yeah.
Who's saying no?
My yeah. boyfriend and I got into a debate about it. He's like, no, because it's referring to the head of the penis. I'm like, no, it's, no,
it's
the head.
Using your head.
Down. Yeah. No, you're right. I think you could say giving head. I've heard it used both ways.
Yeah.
I also like that it's very gender
yeah,
neutral.
Exactly. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one sex tip, each one of you.
Be with the person that you're with.
Ooh.
Okay.
Because no I fuck so many people. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of times people are like doing their moves and I could tell. I can feel when you're like doing your moves and you're not with me and my personal body and myself. And like I can feel when I'm being like, look what I can do versus me being like, I'm learning about you in this moment.
Exactly. Because no one's paying attention. And
yeah.
we're all in our heads during sex. So we're yeah. trying to pull out our move. And
yeah.
you feel that move.
I can feel it hard. I'm like, hello. Okay, right. I get it. You do like, this, you do that.
Yeah.
No.
So true.
I think like not getting out of your own way to like feed into like what it is that you really want.
Big set. Was that your sex tip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I for so long, just like being afraid to ask, being afraid to say it. And it's like so fun to say it and do it.
Guys, also, I find like love if especially younger guys, now that I'm into younger guys, love when you're like, no. Do this.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, like, well, you know what you want? You're a woman. It's like, right. yeah, I'm not 25. I can be like,
exactly.
what you're doing isn't working for me. And I like it like that.
Because I think when you get into your 30s, maybe, and hopefully people listening in their 20s can get it now, is that I used to assume that my partner knew more than I did.
They don't know shit.
And they don't know anything.
No.
And they're so grateful when you give them a little. They're like, thank God I don't have to like flail around and try to figure it out.
Men are so adaptable in that way.
Yeah, they want to their know. Credit. They actually, yeah, to their credit. Okay, a scent that puts you in the mood.
Sandalwood.
Palo Santo.
Palo Santo. Oh, God, I know you guys have an answer to that. Okay, thank you guys so much for hearing that. So Retrograde, Elizabeth Cott, Stephanie Simbari. You have to check out their podcasts, That's So Retrograde, and then they are Watch the Space, because they are coming soon.
Yes.
And we want to come back to talk about fucking.
Yeah, we're going to come back and talk about fucking next time, I swear to God.
Yes.
Okay, thanks guys for being here.
Thanks
and
for
thanks
having us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I love it. I'm so happy for you guys. Congratulations. I have great. You. I'm very proud of you.
To you as well.
Thank you. You guys, there's so much more to talk about. So don't miss my next episode. Subscribe to Sex with Emily right now. Just do it. It's easy. Just do it right now. You can find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.